Welcome to Breathing Room, a Breathe podcast. It's time to be healed. It's time to be restored. It's time to breathe. Thank you for joining us as we steward a move of God in the earth. Here's our host, Sandy James.
Hey, how are you doing? Welcome to Breathing Room. This is Sandy James, and I'm coming to you from the Breathe offices once again. I wanted to get back into our subject. We were talking last week about coming out of the wilderness, what wildernesses are for, and are they ever meant from the Lord? And we decided they are, but what are they for? They're for transition, they're for passage. We're passing through. We're passing from one existence to another existence, from one reality to another reality, out of bondage and into the promise, or out of powerlessness and into the power of the Spirit of God. Yes? And we also decided that wildernesses are meant to be short. They are not meant to be long places. They are not meant to be places where we camp and where we build a house and raise family. We're not doing that. We're passing through. The children of Israel, remember we talked about it, they were meant to come through in 11 days through that wilderness, and they had to stay there until that generation died off. They spent 40 years because of their own unbelief. So we're the ones who set the time of our wildernesses, right? We're the ones who have that valve, that volume button as to when and where our wildernesses will end. Right? We may be in a wilderness. We may be in a dry, confusing place. But we're going to sing, aren't we? We're going to lean on our beloved. We're going to come up out of the wilderness leaning on our beloved, aren't we? We're going to come up and out by singing to the wells that have seemingly dried up and telling them to spring up again. We're going to sing the song of the Lord when the last thing we feel like doing is singing. We're going to stand on the Word of God when the last thing we see is the manifestation of the power of God. Yes, but we're going to stand there and we're not going to be moved. Temptation is just an inherent part of the wilderness because the enemy likes to come in when we're tired and when we're dry and when we're thirsty for the things of God and tempt us to walk in unbelief. But we are not those who shrink back, are we? We're not those who are going to walk away from what we know to be true just because of what we feel. We know what is right before the Lord, and we will walk in what is right before His face, and we will get all the way through the wilderness, and we'll come out of it leaning on our beloved, Jesus. We're going to lean on Him. We're going to allow Him to carry us. We're going to call on His strength rather than our own strength. We're going to do things that in the natural seem impossible, but His strength is made perfect in our weakness, isn't it? His strength is made perfect not in our strength. His strength is made perfect when we feel the weakest. Hallelujah. Isn't that true? I know you have a story of that. I know you have seen that happen. And we decided we were going to milk the wilderness and gather every lesson from the wilderness because it won't be long and we'll be passing through, and lessons we could have learned in the wilderness we might miss because we're grumpy or because we're in self-pity or whatever it is. We're not going to do that. We are women of God who have eyes of the Spirit, and we look and see what He is seeing. We lean on Him, so we're stepping where He's stepping, and we're looking where He's looking. We are not distracted by the wilderness. We are passing through. We have an agenda. We are getting through this place to get into the next place. Does that make sense? Yes, of course it does. The scripture says in Isaiah 40, verse 1, "Your God says to you, comfort, comfort my people with gentle, compassionate words. Speak tenderly from the heart to revive those in Jerusalem and proclaim that they will renew ruined cities and the desolation of past generations. Tell them their warfare is ended." I want to proclaim that to you. You are listening today. I want to declare to you that your warfare is ended in the name of Jesus. The season of battle and stress and fatigue is over in Jesus' name. Your warfare is over in the name of Jesus. You are coming through that to get to this place of abundance and promise That is what I'm believing God for you for today. Your warfare is ended. Your debt of sin is paid for, and you will not be treated as guilty. That's what the scripture says. Prophesy to her that she has received from the hand of Yahweh twice as many blessings as all her sins. A thunderous voice cries out in the wilderness. In the wilderness, the Lord cries out and says, prepare the way for Yahweh's arrival. Make a highway straight through the desert for our God. Tell me, listener. Tell me, beloved, what is a highway? It's a place of easy passage. You travel faster on the highways than you ever do on the footpath. You travel faster on the highways than you ever do through the streets of your city. Make a highway for your God, straight through the desert. Every valley shall be raised up and every mountain brought low. The rugged terrain will become level ground and the rough places a plain. Then, after that, Yahweh's radiant glory will be unveiled and all humanity will experience it together. Believe it. For Yahweh has spoken his decree. What is his decree over you in this wilderness? Keep going. Get on the highway. Get on the highway and pass through. Don't waste it in self-pity, but pass through that wilderness and get to the other side. Go up on a high mountain, you joyful messengers of Zion, and lift up your voices with prayer. You who proclaim joyous news to Jerusalem, shout it out! And don't be afraid. Say to the cities of God of Judah, here is your God. Look, here comes Lord Yahweh as a victorious warrior. He triumphs with his awesome power. The wilderness can be a place of triumph for you. You can receive the comfort of the Lord in that place. Remember in the chapter in Hosea 2 that I read you last week, it says, I will allure her into the wilderness and speak comfort to her there. He wants to comfort you. Why? Because his comfort always brings strength. Why do you need strength? To recover. Yes, to come out and to be ready for the promised land as you pass through this season. So wilderness should be a place of expectation. Oh good, we're in the wilderness. That must mean we're almost there. Amen? That is not what your flesh is thinking right now. You're thinking, I may not make it. But I decree over you, you will not only make it, you will live and you will declare the works of God over this season in the name of Jesus. You will be the shouter. You will be the trumpet that says, look what God has done. It looked like it was lost, but no, he had a plan. And he scooped me up and I leaned on him. I came out of that wilderness place and you can too. Always remember, when you are going through something, there are people behind you that are following behind you that will need you to succeed so that you can turn around and look at them and say, this is the way. Come on. I'll show you how to get through this. Amen. Don't waste your journey. Do not waste your journey in self-pity and condemnation. Self-pity and condemnation is a waste of time and it's illegal. If you are a believer in Jesus, you are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, out of the hand of the enemy. He doesn't have any part of your life. Your sin is none of his business. He is not your God. And you get to pass through and recover all. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, there was a story of David and his men who were fighting a battle on one front. Okay? And they were winning. They were beating the enemy over here on this one front. I don't have a lot of time, so I'm just going to briefly summarize the story, but you should look it up. It's a great one. When they got home from this victory, though, their city, Ziklag, was burned to the ground. All the wives and children were taken. The dog was gone. Everything was destroyed. The enemy had come in on the heels of their victory through the back door and burned the city to the ground. Did you know that? Did you know that you can have simultaneous victory and destruction all at the same time. In one area of your life, you can have great victory and great growth, and yay, we're excelling. But in this other area, there are times when the enemy will try to sneak in and take everything you have and burn it to the ground. Now, what happened with David was that his men turned on him because they wept. The scripture says they wept until they had no more power to weep. They cried out and they wept until there was nothing left to cry. Have you ever cried that hard? David did too. David was not immune from any of this. He laid before the Lord and he just cried and cried and cried. And then after they were grieving, they got mad at him because people will sometimes turn on you when they're having a really bad day. Don't judge them in that moment. You've done the same thing. They spoke of stoning David is what the scripture says. So what did David do? It says he took the ephod. That was what he used to worship in those days. And he went before the Lord and he worshiped the Lord. Beloved, listen to me. That is the answer. You take the ephod, you go get by yourself, and you strike up a conversation with the Lord, and you begin to worship him when the last thing you want to do is worship God. And you sit with him. You sit with him in the face of the Lord because the blood of Jesus gives you full access to the King of Kings. And you come before him and you say, I'm not moving from this place until I hear your voice. I need to hear you. I need to hear from you right now. So David was talking to the Lord, and the scripture says he inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he, God, answered him, pursue, for you will surely overtake them, and without fail you will recover all. So here's the story. He goes into a secret place with the Lord. He grabs the ephod, and the scripture says that he strengthened himself in the Lord. He strengthened himself in the Lord. Why do you think he strengthened himself in the Lord? He didn't strengthen himself in the Lord so he could lay down on the couch and cry. He strengthened himself in the Lord so he could go and recover all. God said, you go ahead and pursue, for you will overtake them, and without fail you will recover all. God wants us to recover everything the enemy has destroyed, everything he has stolen. It is never God's intention for us to go without. It is never his intention for us to just suffer through a robbery of the enemy. He never wants us to do that. He never wants us to just lay down and let it happen. We are children of the Most High God, and it is God's intention that we manifest his greatness and his strength in the earth by the manifestation of his restoration in our own lives to begin with. I'm going to take a break for our sponsor, and I'll be right back in a moment.
Hello, friends. This is Greg with Greg James Designs. We design barndominium homes, metal building homes, and pole barn homes. If you would like to call us and discuss your project, feel free. 405-697-2110 or visit us on the web at gregjamesdesigns.com. We would love to talk about your project. Give us a call.
Welcome back to Breathing Room. It's good to be with you. We were talking about recovering all. It's not God's intention. The reason David needed to strengthen himself is so that he could go and pursue and overtake and without fail recover all. The enemy doesn't, he's not out to just ruin your day. You have to understand that. The enemy wants to, he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. His intention is to kill you and to take you out ultimately from your destiny and your generations from their destiny as well. What you have to ask yourself is it worth it to recover all? Because there was some effort involved. There was a lot of effort involved in David's recovery. So we've got the simultaneous victory and failure. And David could have laid down and said, God, these men you brought me, because remember, these men were the mighty men. These men were the ones who said, man, I think you are amazing. You are going to be Israel's next king, and it is going to be fabulous what you do, so I want to be with you. I want to be with you. Can I follow you around? Can I help you? Can I serve in some way? These were the mighty men of David, yes? Those same men were threatening to stone him to death. You have to remember that people will change according to what's going on. You cannot put your faith in people's faith in you, because it will change. Because they're people. They're not God. But God has not changed his heart concerning David. God has not changed his mind. He has not changed his prophecy concerning David. And David went in and grabbed the ephod, worshiped the... Remember I told you the way to come out of the wilderness is to worship and sing to the well. Sing to the wells that are stopped up. Sing to the fountains that have been stopped up and aren't flowing any longer. Sing to those things and command them to come forth. That's what David was doing. He didn't sit down and go, oh, well, there's nothing I can do about it. I guess I've lost my faith. No. No, no, no. It's not over till I say it's over. I am a child of God. David could say the same thing. David could say, I'm the chosen of the Lord. I'm king of Israel because God said, not because I'm sitting on a throne. I'm king of Israel because God said, and I am going to go in and pursue, overtake, and recover all. I'm going to recover all. That's all there was. And in that place of loss, in that wilderness that David was sitting in when he grabbed the ephod and he sought the Lord, in that wilderness, that's the place that we begin to realize that in the kingdom of God, we don't get to lose. I mean, David was going to get everything, but God said recover all. That meant the dog, the cat, the stirring spoons, the coffee maker, whatever they stole, the children, the wives, the grandbabies, everything. Because they've been marked with purpose because they belong to David. That's the same way with you. Everything in your life is marked with purpose because it belongs to you and you've been called by the name of the Lord. There's no difference here. Does that make sense? You have permission, beloved, to pursue, overtake, and recover all without fail. That is the heart of God for you. Now, the methods may be very different. And God may tell you to do it this way, one way, and another way, the next time, right? But he intends for you to be fully restored, for you to be fully empowered. You are the child of the living God. His hand is on your life. His hand is on your family. And you must not lay down and let the devil get the game ball, right? We don't get to let him just run over us. He is an illegal operator. We get to kick him out. He is not here according to the Lord's plan, and we are going to kick him out of everything that we have going on. They should not have done that. And David was not a nice man. He was a man after God's own heart. He was a radical worshiper, but he was not a nice man. You come and steal his children, and he is coming after you. And there wasn't anything better for him to do. That is what the Lord told him to do. You go after the enemy and you don't let him up. You don't let him take a breath until he gives everything back sevenfold. Does that make sense? Yeah. So good. It's so good. But when we get weak and when we get lazy, as it were, and we say, well, there's really nothing we can do. There's a lot that we can do. We can speak God's word until it's coming out of every pore of our being. We can go after it in the spirit. I'm not talking about in the natural, except unless there is something you need to do in the natural. Like, what if there's a dream that's died because you didn't pursue it? It wasn't that it died because God didn't want it to happen. Maybe it died because you were not faithful enough to pursue it when he said it. Well, go after it. What are you going to do with that? I'm not going to let the enemy, through any means possible, steal anything from me or from my family or from my ministry. Amen? Yeah. We have to be that determined that we will be fully restored and we will be fully recovered. We will recover all. So what do you think about that? Remember, the methods may change, but the heart of the Lord is exactly the same. He wants full recovery for his people. And that's all there is to it. He does not even blink when he tells us that. He doesn't even blink when he tells us he wants us to recover all. Remember, we're not doing this in our own strength. I want to let you know that, too. You are not pursuing and overtaking and recovering all in your own strength. You're not that smart. But you're not in your own strength anymore. When you've given your life to Jesus, you now plug into his strength for the rest of your life. If you'll yield to it, you have access to his wisdom, his strength, his power, his anointing. You become his church. His church of the living God, his ecclesia, who is an arm of the kingdom of God that is the legislative body of Christ, right? We're the ones who say, yes, you come this far and you go no further. So when I see things going on with my children's lives, I can stand in prayer. If they're too old for me to correct them and to guide them, then I can stand in prayer and declaration and say, no further. You go no further in those kids' lives. They will hear the voice of God because all my children are taught of the Lord and great is their peace. And that is what I will have because they're mine and I don't get to lose them. Or what about your business? Your business starting to go down and not producing as much as it was? We just speak to the well and we say, in Jesus' name, Lord, you give us every bit of wisdom we need to shift this thing and to turn it around. But in Jesus' name, everything I set my hand to prospers. Everything I set my hand to prospers. I have not started this business to fail. I have started this business to give you glory and to provide for my family. And that is what will happen. And we will have more than enough. Do you see what I'm doing? You pursue, overtake, and recover all. What about the nation? Do we just let the nation go to whoever it is that wants to steal things from the nation to change the very dynamic of who she is? No. We were born in this nation. If you're listening to me in the United States, we were born in this nation. Whatever your nation is that you're listening to me in, you have authority in that nation. You stand at the gate of that nation and you say, not while I'm here, not on my watch. You will not have this nation. This thing will turn around. And that's been my decree. How about you? What are you doing with that? See, we don't just allow things to happen and go, oh, well, there's nothing we can do. We are bearers of the glory of God. The resurrection life of God lives in us. So we see every obstacle as an opportunity to change it, right? Because we're here to raise the dead and cast out devils and release the life of God in the midst of his people. And to release people into freedom. You are those people who know his heart and you can carry out his will in the earth. I'm talking about a fiery life and existence that goes way beyond what I'm comfortable with in my flesh. What about you? Where are you in the midst of all this? Do you know him? Do you know the Lord? Is this the first time you've listened to me? Because if it is, you may or may not know Jesus. And I'm here to help you with that. We want to help you. Because not one more day needs to go by before you settle your destiny with Jesus. He made you. He redeemed you on the cross before you ever took your first breath. You've been redeemed. But you have to receive it as a gift in order for it to matter to you. So right now, we're going to pray and receive that gift for you. We're going to believe God right now for you to have everything Jesus paid for you. Including the baptism of the Holy Spirit as it's manifest in the book of Acts. So let's pray right now. Say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I yield my life to you and I ask you to take this life of mine and do something amazing with it. I believe that you are the Son of God, that you paid for my sin on the cross, and that you were beaten for my healing. And in the name of Jesus, I receive everything you paid for me to have. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for my redemption. I believe that I am saved now. And I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come and to fill me to overflowing, using me the same way that you did with everybody in the book of Acts. Lord, I love you. And I thank you for your fullness in my life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That's really, really great. I'm so proud of you. I need to hear from you. If you got saved today, or if you rededicated your life today, I need to know. So you should contact me on our website, breatheretreat.life, and let me know what has happened to you listening to this podcast. Would you do me a favor? Can you share this podcast with at least one person, please? And let me know where you're hearing this from. At the last breathe, I had this amazing experience. I didn't know anybody was hearing my podcast, and I had this amazing experience with at least three women came to me and had heard the podcast the day before. And each of them, not knowing each other, had traveled at least 5 hours to come to that breathe retreat and meet me there. I'm telling you what, God is reaching his people with every available media and every available voice. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm so glad to be a part of what God is doing. And you are too. I want to hear from you. I want to know where you're listening from and what you think about it. Breathe, the next Breathe Retreat is on April 24th. It's just on April 24th. We're not very, very far away from it. I know that seems like 59 miles away, but it's not. Oh, yeah, it's April 24th of 2021. I need you to sign up for that. You need to register for that right now and let us know that you're coming. Begin to make plans to come. And gather a group together so that you can get the group discount. That's a really significant discount. But I'm telling you what, Breathe is something you do not want to miss. It is a fully immersive and interactive women's event that lasts 12 hours in the manifest presence of the living God. That's all I can tell you. It is the most amazing gathering you have ever been to. I kid you not, it is life-changing. You'll never be the same again. And if you ever come to one, you will plan your schedule around all of them from that point on. We love you. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I want to hear from you. Let me know how I can help you. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us as we steward a move of God in the earth. To find out more about Breathe Retreat, visit breatheretreat.life. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Join us next week for Breathing Room, a Breathe podcast.